All right. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
We'll begin with prayer, the communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for such a wonderful week. There's so many things we were thankful for. And Lord, I thank you for another wonderful year of blessings. Lord, bless us to go forward in you doing all this in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
God is good. I think last week we made it to chapter 18.
All right.
Something caught my attention in chapter 17, verse 24. Jesus is praying. He said, Father, verse 24, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may also behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And he's praying for the Father that we may be where he is. And I thought about that this morning. And I thought about what Lucifer said. In contrast to what Lucifer said back in Isaiah 14. And this is Isaiah 14 verse 12. Says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, that's one. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, that's two. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, that's three. I was ascend above the clouds, above the heights of the clouds. It's four. And I will be like the Most High. And we're going to, and Jesus asked the Father to let us be where he is. And he is where Lucifer wanted to be. Now, Lucifer, it shows us that he weakened the nations. And we, through Christ and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we strengthen the nations. He worked to tear things down to build himself up. We work we yield to the Lord and build others up. And Jesus said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So the Lord took us to heavenly places through Christ. The enemy is the direct opposite. And in contrast to that, we build up where he tears down. He'll stop at nothing to tear down the people of God and the things of God. But we stand for the Lord. And we learning something that he knew a long time ago. And he rebelled against it. But we're learning it, and as we learn God's ways, and commune with the Lord, we prosper in God's ways. And we take the territory that he stole from us. And that's what I love about this. This is the strength of communion. This is what it gives us a blessing. Every blessing that there can ever be is through Christ and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The enemy may use fear tactics, but we have faith. Fear is a surrendering belief, but faith is a conquering belief. Faith, you know, just like Brother Horton said, faith will, you can, by your faith, you can change the facts on the ground. But through fear causes people to surrender. And, but the Lord took us to heaven. And that, you know, I just saw that contrast. That's why I went there. Okay, chapter 18. Any comments on that? It's just rich, the things that the Lord have done. Chapter 18. When Jesus...
Uh-huh.
I just like to comment on when you were saying, I will, and Satan was saying, I will, I will. It was all about Seth, what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Nothing about God. He had the power, you know.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. I will. I'm up to it.
Mm-hmm. And we put the Lord first.
Yeah.
He put himself first. And when we put the Lord, as we put the Lord first, we'll see, we'll have the same results Jesus got. And we'll get to go forward. We can change our destiny, whatever his will is, we can become that will. We can become his will in the earth.
One thing I noticed in here is that in verses 25 and 26, he uses the word no. Four times.
25, yeah.
24, 25, and 26. You know, he's focusing on, the world hasn't known you.
Yeah.
But we know you.
Uh-huh.
There's a constant thread running through the New Testament. Knowledge. Know.
Yeah.
And so here he uses it four times.
Mm-hmm.
In two verses. He says, I've made known to them. So that they can know your name. Your name. They can know your name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about knowing God.
Yeah.
Our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we know about him,
the more
powerful we'll be.
Yeah.
The more content and at peace we'll be.
Uh-huh.
It's just the power of knowledge is just all throughout the New Testament. But this just jumps out at me here because he uses it four times in two verses. Four times in two verses.
Uh-huh.
That must be pretty important.
It is.
It must be pretty important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, it's really cool that, you know, he says that where I am, they may be also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
You know, that where I am, you can be there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he says, this world, this earth, this heaven is going to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be found a place for them.
Yeah.
There won't be a place for this old earth,
right.
This old heaven.
Uh-huh.
So it's a good thing I'm making a place for you.
Yeah.
So you'll have a place to be.
Uh-huh.
You know? So,
man, that's good.
Yeah.
The thing, as we draw near to the Lord and yield to him, we learn things we didn't know before. And every time we receive what we didn't know we had, that's where our faith comes from, the knowledge of God's word. And faith begins where the will of God is known. He reveals his will. He reveals his word. We know how he is and how. Israel never trusted. They never learned to trust God because Pharaoh shaped the way they saw God.
And that's true. Yeah. That's true. They never could get that Egypt out of them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
some people that way, you know, they come, you know, to Jesus, they can't seem to release the world. You know, they still want to do the worldly thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
They still want to, you know, drink, run around, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems that they cannot disconnect from the world.
Yeah.
And Egypt never could seem to disconnect. Because they never wanted to be in presence with God. They always would tell Moses, you go.
Uh-huh.
You go talk to God. We don't want to, you know what I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And you come back and tell us what. They never wanted.
The firm relationship.
Yeah. They wanted Moses to do
people
all
are,
the
people are that way now.
and
you know, the Pharisees shaped the way that the church see God. It's still here. It's the same thing. There's a convenience side to doing things to, you know, let somebody else go in God's presence and then you just sit back and they'll tell you what to do and you can just have fun on the earth while they do all the praying. But that's not the relationship, though.
No, it's not the relationship.
When this is a privilege, a blessing to be able to commune with the Lord. He can tell.
Amen.
He can. There's nothing he don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Not just church things, not just ministry things. When I run into a problem, I've been trained. I'm a trained mechanic. When I run into a problem that I can't figure out, I pray, and the Holy Spirit will give me a dream or something, and I end up fixing whatever I had to fix. Because he's a better mechanic.
Yes. Amen.
And he's a better doctor. He's whatever. I learned something about the Lord. He, if you want to learn an occupation or something, he has people out there to train you for that. And the Holy Spirit is not, he's not going to take their place. You're going to have to see them. But when you get in a pinch, he knows what to do. If you were somewhere isolated, you couldn't get to people to, you know, to form and to train, he can show you what to do. But if you have, you know, sometimes people think, well, I had the Holy Spirit guide me in all truth. Well, I don't need my pastor anymore. I just stay at home. All right? That's not right, because the pastor, God sent the pastor to be a blessing. Not only him, others as well.
Ephesians called him a gift.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't look at our pastors and teachers that way. We look at them like,
well, I can learn that, but that's not, it don't work that way. The Lord gave us a network. If we have to be faith, just as faithful with the network, but we don't neglect the guidance of the Holy Spirit with that we have ourselves. You know, we have to learn to hear from him as well. Amen. If you have to, if you're isolated, God sent you to some far region somewhere, and there's no, you can't get to your pastor. The cell phone won't reach. The Holy Spirit is there. He can bless you. He can teach you whatever you got to know. But when you have access to what God has provided you with, he wants us to be faithful with that, you know. But Lucifer wants to look good. He's preeminent. He wants to look the best, the most important. But the Lord wants us to take advantage of. He said, "Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth." That includes the written word, our parents, people that he put in place to be a blessing to us, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, other pastors that come in from time to time, other ministers, Christians in general. The Lord he's speaking. And in some people, the elements that we need to get where we're going is going to come from many people that's guided by the Holy Ghost. Because David has, in his relationship with God, he sees things that's important to him. And one day it's going to be an element I need, and I wouldn't get any other way. Same thing with all of us. So with Christ, for a long time, I would focus on my relationship, but I thought about how blessed I was from others. I thought back, how did I learn to follow God? A lady kept reading Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 every day, every Sunday, for years. And that word got in my heart. And I saw other people following God. It didn't happen in one day. And then the Lord taught me that the biggest problem in the church is just people don't follow him. So sometimes the things we need, the elements we need, it's going to come from many people that God is using. Now that I know better, I won't waste nothing. You know, we're going to need each other. We're going to need these things. But when you have an isolated situation and you don't know what to do, and nobody else knows what to do, the Holy Spirit is right there. And sometimes he'll send you to people. Sometimes he'll give you a dream and show you himself. Sometimes he'll show you through the word or situations. But one time I needed strength for something, and I had a vision. I saw my friend Odie, and I called him, and he strengthened me. So that's how it works. He said, "O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." So the same love is in us, in them, and in us, and in them. You know, we have such a strong communion. Is not just us with God, it's us with each other in God.
Yeah. That's very good. Repeat that.
Yeah, communion is not just us with God, it's us with each other in Him, in God.
Repeat it again.
Communion is not just us in God, it's us as a unit with others in Him as one. And there are elements that we feed each other. That's why this class is so strong. I'm so glad that we're able to record it and share it with the world. And we don't know, I don't know how many people listen, but I know God is not wasteful.
Amen.
If you ever think God is wasteful, read the book of Jonah. He's not wasteful. He's going to use the tools that he has at his disposal. And he takes us at our pace. I refuse to put a counter on my website because I don't want to know. If it's a lot of people, it may change the dynamic, you know. And if it's not that many, I may get discouraged. But God is using these tools to be a blessing to his people. As long as he know, I'm fine. Whatever he start, I just want to do my part and let him do his part and enjoy the ride. Verse 24, this is 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body."
Just wait 1 minute.
I learned something from Scott Webb. my brother-in-law went to his church. I visited. And he said, "I don't know who pays tithes and who don't." He said, "I keep myself out of it. I don't want to know." Because he wanted to love the people. He didn't want it to be a riff.
You know what, Pastor? I said this before, Pastor Jim said. We had an old church. We first moved there from Cherry Hill.
Uh-huh.
And we decided to have business meetings. We had two. He said, "We ain't having those new meetings up there." He said, "We're not having those new meetings." And nothing else. Whatever. If you're tired, you can look at the books. If not, don't ask.
Whoa.
We'll talk about it, but if you're tired, if not, don't ask.
Wisdom. But he said that he did it that way. The lady that kept the books there, she knew. But he didn't want to know because he didn't want to be tempted to be in strife. Or, you know, some things is better if you don't know. And you can just continue with the joy of the Lord. All right. 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." I thank the Lord for communion. I thank the Lord for all fellowship with his people. And I thank the Lord for where he's taken us. Lord, bless us to do all that's in your heart, completely faithful, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.